Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159, the early line. It's Joe and Donnie on a Tuesday morning. The NHL playoffs have begun. Four games last night, which include the Boston Bruins, who most think are the favorite to lift the cup here in 2023. The Bruins, a 3-1 victory over the Panthers in game one. Away we go for the Bruins, Joe Ranieri.
Yeah, I mean, listen, shocker to none here. Maybe a little bit closer than some people thought was going to be here. But it got a little chippy. We heard about the whole flu thing going on through the locker room prior to game. There were some questions going, wow, what is this going to mean? How is it going to affect the Bruins? Well, it didn't affect them all that much here because it's the style of play, Donnie, that was the most impressive. If this Boston team, and they've shown it time and time again, but if they have a lead going into the third, it was amazing watching. They just clamped down. I mean, they shut it down. There was, you were not going to get, forget about power play killing. I've never seen a better power play killing team than Boston. Like, you ain't scoring. Like, all right, so you got a man advantage. You think that's going to work for you? No. It's not going to do it. And then holding a lead going into the third, wow. It's amazing how they have enough left in the tank to kick it up a notch. And boy, oh boy, the Panthers are going to need Leon to go and stand on his head because he did have one terrible goal that he gave up there, that second goal. I believe it was Marchand it was ugly. But give the guy credit. He was standing on his head. That could have been an 8-1 game, Donnie. He played really, really well for a career minor leaguer at 30 years old. Now he's the goalie for the Panthers in the playoffs. Give the guys some credit here, but they're going to have to get more offense. That's the bottom. They got to figure it out, this Boston defense. They got to figure out how to get the puck in the net. It'll be an interesting game, too. Another 4-1, 3-1 kind of game, and it might be over rather quickly for the Panthers.
65 wins on the season for the Bruins, and the postgame press conference, which included Marchand answering questions like, yeah, we were really nervous because this is what we built up for all year. We know we're the best team. Now we have to execute, but it's not a given each and every time that you take the ice, but a nice start for the Bruins here. If we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, odds to lift the cup, +330 for the Bruins, followed by the Avalanche at 7-1, the Oilers at +850, and those Toronto Maple Leafs at 9-1. Look, and again, they've played one game here. There's a long way to go. Would it be the Bruins for you, though? Are they just that far and away better than everybody else? But we've seen in the past some heavy favorites in the NHL get dropped round one.
Well, yeah, like, Toronto. I agree. You've got the two up at the top there. Bruins and Avalanche, to me, are the two. The unknown in all of this, I think, is, can the Maple Leafs get past Tampa? Because a lot of people have stuck a fork in the Lightning and been like, nah, it's over. But, hey, how many times have we seen it, Donnie? Goaltending matters in the playoffs. And they have one of the best, it's Vasilevskiy there. And if he turns it on, they have more than enough to be able to upset a few teams along the way, including Toronto in this first series. But I think until somebody shows that they can actually solve the riddle of the Bruins and or the Avalanche, that would be the two teams that I look at to meet it.
Couple of hockey guys talking hockey here on a Tuesday morning. You are watching and listening live here to the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Joe and Donnie, the Hurricanes and the Islanders. A lot of these games really close, which is what you get in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 2-1 victors over the Islanders to take that 1-0 series lead.
Yeah, so my question in this series was, can Carolina figure it out and score enough, right? But the answer is yes, obviously, 2-1. And maybe we should be asking that question of the Islanders. Can the Islanders get enough offense in this series here to be able to, win this? We know they have the goaltending, right, Donnie? But what they showed last night is, that offense. Like, how do you go that long without scoring a goal? I mean, you scored early in the second and then you disappeared offensively. And there is only so much your goaltender can do unless he's going to score himself. So I think the Islanders would be fine. I still think this is a series that's going to go seven. And there's going to be a lot of unders in this one too, Donnie. I got news for you. I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to cash in a few. I wouldn't be shocked if we get a couple of, fives total goals here, especially if the Islanders, when they get back home, five is probably going to be the average total goals in this series moving forward.
As a kid in grade school, there was nothing better than overtime hockey, particularly in the Campbell Conference, which is now the Western Conference. You got a couple of those last night. The Wild and the Stars go to two overtimes, which the Wild win 3-2. And then you take a look at the Kings upsetting the Oilers 4-3 and the Oilers blowing a lead. I love playoff hockey. And when playoff hockey, it's overtime hockey. It's sensational, Joe.
And that was the shocker. I mean, back and forth all night with Dallas and Minnesota. Pavelski, concussion, fights. Double overtime was perfect. But, man, the Oilers giving up a 3-1 lead was just shocking to me here, Donnie. Shocking, that overtime loss.
NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, a lot to break down and have fun with. But you know what? The Major League Baseball diamond equally as good. Let's recap that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Stick it right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two in full effect right here on the Early Line. It's Joe and Donnie in the morning. Major League Baseball recap on deck. But before we do that, you know the easiest way to also recap Major League Baseball and keep in touch with all the biggest highlights and sports stories? Check out our new Sports Grid app. You also get previews, projections, line movements, injuries, and much, much more, now available in the App Store. And also check us out on sportsgrid.com/watch. No better way to get in the game and keeping it right here with Sports Grid. Let's get after it. Yesterday, a lot of stuff going down on the diamond, which included, Joe, how about this? An 11-10 first pitch up in Boston for Patriots Day. The marathon was being run, and it seemed like a marathon game. Why? Because we had rain delays in between, which knocked out Shohei Ohtani. But good thing for those Angels, they got out to a big lead and were able to hold off the Boston Red Sox 5-4 yesterday.
Yeah, Hunter Renfroe, big coming through here. Turned out to be, you're right, a much better game than it certainly looked like it was going to start. Yeah. But they might as well just started it at 4 o'clock as opposed to 11 o'clock there, because I didn't think they were going to get it done, Don. I really didn't. I thought for sure this was going to be like, all right. But they waited it out. They ended up getting it done, and they were treated to actually a pretty good game there with Ohtani only going what did he get through? Two, three innings, if that.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was it. So, hey, you won a game and you saved a few innings on the arm of Ohtani. Call me crazy. It's a win-win there for the Angels getting it done on Patriots Day.
Marlins erase a 3-run lead and take down the Giants 4-3. Soler hit a 2-run pinch hit shot here, which was the catalyst for that victory. Nice win for the Marlins. But how about the Giants? They've had a really good run, but maybe coming up on a little bit of hard times here. 5-10 now on the season, Joe.
Yeah, repeat after me. The Giants bullpen is crap. The Giants bullpen is crap. It is. Don't ever bet on this team outside of the first five innings because they are. The Giants bullpen is hot trash, people. It really, really is. And now they're ranking, even after blowing this game last night, too. They're right around 30th in just about every statistical category in the bullpen, man. They can't hold anybody. And they seem to have their issues offensively as well. It's just not a good situation right now for the Giants. Not a bet-on team in any stretch.
I believe, who was it? Sergio Romo retiring in his last spring training game. Maybe you got to go back to Sergio Romo to provide some lift here for the Giants. But Gabe and the boys not looking all that good early season here. Let's keep it moving. You know, us isn't looking that good after a pristine start to the season. Where some out there, Joe, were thinking that maybe the Rays can go 162-0. But losers now of three of their previous four games, the Reds take them down 8-1 yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, they should. Did you see who that? I mean, Beeks. They threw out Beeks as a starting pitcher. They got, listen, things were going well until, of course, it's not. Zach, let's be reasonable. Zach Eflin, Jeffrey Springs now on the sidelines. We don't know when they're coming back. These were two big guys in the plans of this Tampa team in the rotation there that all of a sudden now they're going to scramble here to try and mix and match some guys. But the thing that we've come to learn about Tampa, right, over the years, Donnie, is that they have no shortage of pitchers and arms and guys that they can throw out there. So I do think it's been a great start. They gave themselves a cushion because of this start to the season. And at 14-3, they've got more than enough time to figure out the rotation and the injuries here. And the Great American Ballpark, remember this as well, continues to see runs being scored. Going to be one of the best over ballparks of the year, Donnie.
There you go. Ebbs and flows in Major League Baseball. The Texas Rangers get a 4-0 win. Now, DeGrom only threw four innings. Mm. It was sensational through those four innings with five Ks, only one walk, no earned runs, no hits given up. But again, Jacob DeGrom leaving because maybe he had some soreness issues here. MRIs being checked out. It's never a good thing for how much money you signed for, but this is why the Mets basically let him go and walk to another franchise. They just couldn't trust him anymore. We'll see what happens there. But the real story of this is not actually the Rangers 4-0 win. The Kansas City Royals, we talk about a lot about the Oakland Athletics not being a good team. I don't know what to make of the Royals, who through 17 games are 1-10 at home. And it feels like it's a struggle not to score runs, Joe, but to actually just get base hits and get on base. This team is horrendous.
They absolutely are. And they're starting pitching also. I mean, Lyles yesterday, although wasn't bad. I mean, he went three. They can't even win the close ones, right? I mean, he only gave up three hits. Jordan Lyles, two earned runs. He walked three, struck out three, gave his team an opportunity to win, right? And what did they do? How did they repay him? By saying, yeah, thanks. We're going to give up. We're going to let Clark come in. We're going to give up the runs. And, oh, yeah, it's going to be a 4-0 game because you can't hit water if you fell out of a boat. There are pieces there. I like Brady Singer. They have some pitching that I think can carry them to some wins. But if those bats don't get going, yikes here. They may be a bet-on team, though, at some point, Donnie, because I do think the talent is there. I think they're going to get better as the season goes on. The worse they are now, the more money we can make, let's say, next month.
Yeah, when they actually wake up at the plate. Because, again, DeGrom had four strong innings, but you still had five at-bats versus the bullpen of the Rangers, and you scraped up one hit there. So a 4-0 shutout win by the Rangers. Yeah. How about this? The Diamondbacks continue to stay above 500, now 10-7 on the season. A grand slam by Pavin Smith lifts them to a 6-3 victory over the Cardinals. Now, I look at my Phillies, Joe, and say I'm very disappointed in the start of the season for them, but I had really high hopes also for the Cardinals. Now sit at 7-10 on the season. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, no, and it was a great pitching matchup, actually, one that I was curious to see. Flaherty seems to have gotten better with his control, still walked three in that game, but he still got some electric stuff, and that was always the big question with St. Louis this year with the rotation, right? Can Flaherty get back to what he was pre-Tommy John, pre-surgery, right? Well, he looks like he's getting there. He's still under a 3 ERA, Don. He struck out 4, kept him in the game until, of course, they weren't in the game anymore. And I don't know how Merrickelly keeps doing it, man. I just don't. Didn't walk anybody, struck out 3, gives up 5 hits, goes 6 innings, and the Diamondbacks once again are showing this is not a team who strikes out. This is a team puts the ball in play. And in this new rule, Major League Baseball era, this is a team that's built to win games they probably shouldn't.
Yeah, back to the Whitey Herzog Cardinals days where, you know, those guys are getting after it on the base pass. It's just another way you can win where it's not, hey, who has the best sluggers? And you wait for the 3-run home run. There are other ways that you can actually score in Major League Baseball. Welcome to the party of 2023. Yep. Talking about scoring, you know how you end your opponent's chances? Yeah, you score 7 runs in the first inning. That's what the Houston Astros did to the Blue Jays. A 7-0 lead turns into a 9-2 victory. Gausman roughed up 4 2/3, 7 earned runs, as we said, all in the first inning, and away go the Houston Astros. But again, the Astros 8-9 on the season here.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you would talk about a team we were not worried about here. Eventually, they were going to figure it out, and they figured it out in a big way at home here. So Gausman got crushed. Javier pitched really, really well again here. 5 strikeouts, only 3 hits, and 1 earned run. Another team, Toronto, Donnie, that offensively should be way better and more consistent than what we've gotten thus far in the season.
How about this one? Atlanta Braves 2-0 over the Padres. If you had question marks of how Fried's hamstring would come back, 5 innings pitched, no earned runs, 4 Ks, no walks, a stellar performance. But also, Weathers on the opposite side for the Padres. 6 innings, 2 earned runs. That should be good enough to win. Nice win by the Braves, who 9-1, Joe, on the road.
I give up with this pod. Trying to figure out this Padres hitters is beyond. How are you getting shut out? Like, seriously, what, Tatis? You gotta wait till Tatis comes back? That's the only way you can score a run? I mean, Machado's hitting a 130. Come on, man. This is awful.
Yeah, how about this? Soto, 164. By the way, Tatis bombing away in the minors. They need him back quick. More Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, Major League Baseball on a Tuesday. And how about this? We have a couple doubleheaders on the menu today, Joe. So let's get fun. Let's have some fun. Start to break these games down. The first game is coming up here. It's the Guardians and the Tigers. Gaddison Boyd on the mound. That is a 1-11 first pitch. The line in this game, the Guardians, a -134 favorite and a total listed at 8.5. Now, here's my favorite part of the game. It's not actually really breaking it down, but going to the weather report, Joe. How about this? 39 degrees at first pitch. 18 mile an hour winds. So what is the real feel in this game going to be? Under 32 degrees, high 20s at this point? Certainly not Major League Baseball weather. So before we get into the game, do you believe, Joe, they play the game today?
Yeah, well, that's going to be the big question, Donnie, because we have not been able to trust them the last couple of games. The weather has just been atrocious. I did, in fact, play this game yesterday, and I took the first 5 under at 4.5 runs, because with that weather and, you know, the pitching on the mound and the ineptitude of the long ball for both of these teams, I'm going, listen, are we really going to get this many runs in this game here? I mean, Gattis is about 6'12". You know, by the time he throws the ball, he's already halfway to home plate. I mean, it's an interesting matchup. Boyd has been really, really good. Finally, looks like he's back from injury last year. And the Guardians hit righties better than lefties. So I think it sets up for a nice under, given the weather and everything else happening in this game, plus a couple of days off now. I'm sticking with the under in this one.
Yeah, the wind is blowing out to left field at 18 miles an hour. But again, it is going to be freezing cold. And this is a preview for today, just in the first game. There's a lot of questionable pitching matchups out there, but the lineups going against those questionable pitchers aren't checking out for me. So if you take a look at Gattis on the mound for Cleveland, not a great start to the season, Joe. About 60 batters he's faced, an xFIP of over six, which is terrible. Not a lot of strikeouts here. High walk rate to lefties. He can't get any of those out. The problem is, if you look at the lineup today against right-handed pitching for Detroit, outside of Maton and Carpenter, you know, two average guys in Major League Baseball, everybody else is bad against right-handed pitching to start. And if we flip it over from a Cleveland perspective going up against Detroit, Boyd does have a high xFIP, but that's just decent numbers, splits between lefties and righties. But if we're looking for left-handed hitting in that Cleveland lineup, you don't get it. Arias and Zunino, everybody else has been bad. So it's one of those things where if you get questionable pitchers on the mound with great lineups, you can have a lot of fun. But cold temperatures, windy temperatures, and not great lineups, we might be seeing something sooner than later. And if the game even plays, how eventful is that actually going to be? Another game here on the docket today, which will be a doubleheader. That's the Philadelphia Phillies and the White Sox. Game one, Wheeler versus Lynn. The Phillies, a slight favorite in this one at minus 126 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A total listed at 8. Looking at the weather conditions here, somewhat balmy compared to what we're talking about in Detroit. 54 degrees, no precipitation, 9-mile-an-hour winds. What do you think we get out of Wheeler and Lynn today?
Well, I think also two guys that have actually started to round into form here recently, Donnie. We know Lynn dealt a little bit with some issues in the home run department. It wasn't a great start to the season. Wasn't great for Wheeler either. But I do see both of these pitchers who have also struggled with some walks here, Donnie, which has not been great. But I don't really see either of these two lineups being able to take advantage. Neither are patient enough to take advantage of either the home run ball or the walk. So I do see this as a little bit more of a pitcher's battle, I think, than an actual swing fest and home run derby. And then it's going to be 12-10. I'm going to give the edge to both starting pitchers here. And I'm going to look to an early under in the first five with this one, Donnie.
Yeah, Lance Lynn this season, you know, he's faced around 70 batters. He's really struggled against left-handed batters. A 542 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 538, which is really off the charts. You do have some pretty good bats in there from the left-hand side for the Phillies, but also as a team themselves, the first seven batters estimated in the lineup tonight, everybody is a plus with weighted on base percentage versus right-handed pitching. We'll see if that comes into it. But also, we like to educate out here as well, Joe. And sometimes when you see double headers, my typical approach is the first game is going to be the cleanest game. The lineups will come out early. The second one is always tough because we never really know who's available in the bullpen, who's going to start that second game. Correct. And if you're JT Romuto, you're going to be a DH, you're just going to sit out the second game. We never quite know. Just from your standpoint on how you approach doubleheaders, do you like the first game, the second game, or like myself, a lot of times just passing over both games altogether?
No, I like the second game. And I like to, I always like to look at the second game and based upon, especially if we're looking at a home team that may have lost game one, coming back in game two, certainly look to back them there. And I still think first, early games, early inning opportunities will present themselves in doubleheaders as well, right? You know, or have a pretty good idea who's going to play in the first game, but not the second, who missed the first game. So maybe they're back in that lineup on the second game. So I think the best way to approach these and the most success that I've had is take a look at the first game, see what you have there, and figure out from there what it is and what price that you want in the second game. And if an opportunity presents itself, go get it. If it doesn't, plenty of other games still to be played this year here, Don.
Yeah, and also with that bullpen, as you take a look at, did the top closers go in game number one? And did he throw 16 pitches?
Right. Exactly.
He's probably not going in game number two, so always some things. And also, great things about the FanDuel Sportsbook, what you can do is you can bet live. Like, hey, by the way, just found out that so-and-so is not available out of the bullpen today. Hey, now's a great time to try to get in. There's a lot of advantages that you can find in game number two if you search for those. Let's keep it moving down the list. The Rays and the Reds. How about this one? Two strikeout pitchers on the mound with Bradley and Lodolo, a slight favorite to the Rays at a minus 120 price, a total listed at 9. Is it bounce back day for the Rays, or does Lodolo, I'm going to keep this lining down. It's crafty little lefty over there.
A big time crafty lefty, one in which, you know, the market has been very high on early. And why not, right? I mean, with a 2-0, he's got a 1.4 whip, I think. The kid is delivered. He is at home. But I'll say it again, guys. The Great American Ballpark is a sandbox, run box, call it what you want. There are going to be runs, I think, in this game. And I'm starting to see, I'm seeing nines out there. But, I mean, call me crazy. The Reds have outscored in their last three games, Donnie, last three wins, 27-3. Now, the pitching is not that good that they're only going to continue to give up minuscule runs. But the bats are on fire, and that is important. So I do think the only way I would look at Reds and Tampa today is give me the over here tonight. Expect the Rays not to be as inept at the plate as they showed yesterday. And I think Cincinnati, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The bats, they're alive here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, two strikeout guys, too. Lodolo in the season, 36% strikeout rate. And if you take a look at Taj Bradley, he's only had one start there, 40% strikeout rate. So we'll see if these guys can get the bats on the ball and provide some offense here. Let's keep moving forward. The Angels and the Yankees, Suarez will be on the mound versus Schmidt, a minus 146 price here for the New York Yankees, a total listed at 9. Taking a look at the weather conditions here, not that good, 53 degrees, but no rain in the forecast. 15 miles an hour, Joe, blowing out dead center field in the Bronx tonight.
Yeah, I would only look at the Yanks in this one here, simply because, Donnie, given the craziness yesterday for the Angels, right? Creatures of habit, we know pitchers are, and I'm going to, and players in general. So that game lasted way longer than anybody thought it was going to be. They had to get to New York. And tell me who's got the bullpen advantage here. Who do we trust in a close game? And I trust the Yankee bullpen to be able to get this thing done. And I like Clark Schmidt, to be completely honest with you here. I think he's got a little something here. I think he's going to be really good at Yankee Stadium, too. It hasn't been the greatest of starts for him here, but I liked him in spring training. I think the Yankees are going to back the kid up here today and get the win, and I think it's going to be rather easily.
By the way, something has to give in this game, too, because you take a look at the Yankees. It is a hitter's ballpark. It's not freezing temperatures and the wind is blowing out. Suarez is a left-handed pitcher, high exit here to start the season. He's faced 45 batters. He's dominated lefties, but he's only faced 7 of those. The 38 right-handed batters here, Joe, a 489 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 278. But here's the problem. The Yankees haven't woken up yet at the plate versus left-handed pitching. Volpe, through 9 at-bats, has done very well. Trevino, through 4 at-bats, has done very well against lefties. But everybody else in the middle of that order, including Aaron Judge, 9 at-bats with a 0 ISO power number. Rizzo, 8 at-bats versus lefties with a 0 ISO power number. Torres, LeMahieu, Cabrera, and Kiner Falefa, all with zeros there as ISO power numbers against lefties. But something sooner than later has to give. We'll see if that does here. We're going to keep continuing down this major league path today. But again, we had unbelievable weather conditions last week, 70s, 80s, high 80s across the market. Now we're seeing some cooler temperatures. And if those bats cool down, Joe Rainier, for myself, it usually doesn't work out all that well because I myself love totals. How about you, Joe? Give me the hot weather back. Where is it?
I'm with you here. Hey. What are we, a couple of weeks away from May? Like, come on, let's go. Enough of these 28 degrees with wind blowing dead in your face. Enough.
Yeah, exactly enough. And by the way, we're going to save the best for last here in the next segment because we're going to go over Orioles Nationals, the Battle of D.C. Here we go. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
going down on the Delmarva Peninsula today, Joe Ranieri. The Orioles and the Nationals. Game of the day, game of the week, game of the year. Could it be Kramer versus Gray, a favorite here for the Orioles, on the road at a minus 146 price and a total listed at 8.5. And how about this? Weather conditions in Baltimore, 66 degrees with a crosswind, no precipitation in the forecast. Kramer, Gray, what are we looking at, Joe?
Yeah, no, I mean, it does happen to be one of those ballparks here, Donnie, that the wind does play. You know, it can either really help the pitchers or really hurt the pitchers here. And very much like Wrigley, right? Is the wind blowing in or is the wind blowing out? It's two different approaches when you see what's going on here. But we got a situation where I think temperatures going to be in the 50s, 60s, somewhere around that.
Yeah.
But my goodness, we had totally different weather there just a couple of days ago. And I do think the cooler weather with some of the wind, I do think that maybe, just maybe, we might have been under in this one. Why? Because I like Josiah Gray. I think he's the kid has got a future. I like his arm. I like Kramer of Baltimore. There are a couple of guys that can keep the ball in the ballpark and on the ground. And not to mention the Nats bullpen over the last week, sneaky good here so far. And they have kept their team in games, which they probably shouldn't have been. But I do think this is a good game. I thought the 9 was a little high. So this is a game I'm leaning towards the under. As the game gets later, the colder those temperatures and the wind will get. So I'm looking at an under in this one here, Donnie.
It's another one of those games, Joe, where you have pitchers with questionable xFIP numbers, but the batters that they're going to be facing. Because if we look at Gray, he's got a 5.04 xFIP, which is a little bit high. He does dominate against left-handed batters. Keep in mind, he's a right-handed pitcher. Mm-hmm. He struggled against right-handed batters. But the estimated lineup tonight, including switch hitters, 6 out of the 9 are supposed to be from the left-hand side for the Baltimore Ravens. So it's the Baltimore Ravens. How about that? The Baltimore Orioles going up against Gray. Now, if we flip it over to the other side here, we take a look at Kramer. He's been awful this year. We know he's even been more awful. The Washington Nationals hitters here, who in the lineup today gets right-handed pitching, only one guy out of 9 projects as a plus batter. So it's another one of those where these pitchers probably could get hit around, but you still need active players here that are good at their job in order to do damage. And I don't know if we actually get that today. We'll see what happens down there. Decent weather conditions. Let's let it play out. Twins and the Red Sox. How about this? We just talked about a Gray on the mound for the Nationals. How about a Gray here in Sonny Gray on the mound for the Minnesota Twins going up against Chris Sale? Now, this game, roughly a pick-up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 110 as a slight favorite here for the Twins, a total listed at 9. Sale has been brutal to start the season. Bounce back for Boston, or the Twins get this one?
Is there any way we can actually count on Sale anymore? I mean, I don't know what we're doing here. I have a superior pitching matchup in this one. I don't care if they're at Fenway or not here, Donnie. How in the world are you banking on Chris Sale is not going to turn the clock back and be the Chris Sale of 5 years ago? It's not going to happen. Having said that, I do think it's a big enough pitching edge where I would want to take advantage of Gray versus Sale as much as I can, as quick as I can. So I would certainly look towards Minnesota early in this game, because I think Gray going to keep the ball in the ballpark, going to keep the ball on the ground, and Chris Sale tends to maybe not get as much movement on the ball as he would like, and I think Minnesota might be able to take advantage of it. So give me the Twins early and often in the first five on this one.
Yeah, I can't trust Chris Sale. I'm with you on that. Take a look at Sonny Gray this season. 60 batters, Joe, that he's faced. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's been very good against both lefty and righty batters. Yeah. Lefties, a 286 weighted on base percentage. Righties, how about this? A 189 ISO power numbers, 053 and 073 between lefties and righties, respectively. So certainly Gray seems to have the advantage on the mound for today. Arizona Diamondbacks and the St. Louis Cardinals. That's going to be Jameson versus Montgomery on the mound. The favorite here for the Cardinals, minus +174 price and a total listed at 8. If I slide it down here, take a look at the weather conditions, 71 degrees, light precipitation chances early, but this game should get in. So a little bit more warmer conditions here. Is this a bounce back spot here for the Cardinals for you, Joe?
Yeah, well, I would think, but I can't trust them. That's the problem. They have struggled at the plate. They are also now, what, 5 games back in the Central just to go? The Cardinals are always a team, and we know this, Donnie, right? The Cardinals seem that we have to get closer to the summer months before they kick it into another gear. They're usually very slow out of the gate here, and I think that's what we're in store for again with these guys. They may not hit their stride until about June, which is when I expect them to really start to impress in the warmer temperatures. Until then, there's just too many ways this Arizona Diamondbacks team can beat you. They don't strike out a lot, and I think that's going to be a big issue for the Diamondbacks moving forward. Steal bases, play some defense, don't strike out, make the team have to play solid defense to get you out. And I do like Jameson, the kid Dre Jameson for Arizona, too. Young arm that I think is going to be able to make us a little bit of money here tonight against this Cardinals team.
Yeah, take a look at Jameson's splits. Very good. 48 batters that he's faced on the season. He is a right-handed pitcher, but to left, he's a .266. Weighted on base percentage to right, he's a .283. Mm. So certainly handling his business. If we flip it over to the other side, Montgomery, the lefty, he's got great splits here. 12 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, a .217 weighted on base percentage. So being a left-handed pitcher, you'd think probably he'd get touched up from right-handed batters. That's not been the case. .260 weighted on base percentage in an ISO of 105. We'll see what gives in that game and matchup there. How about this one? Blue Jays and the Astros, a slight favorite here for the Astros at a -112 price. It's Bassett or Keedy and a total of 9. You saw yesterday the Astros jump on the Blue Jays for 7 runs in the first inning. Any looks today for you between the Blue Jays and the Astros?
Well, I mean, Bassett actually looked pretty well here that last time out, although seems to continue to have a bit of a home run problem. But to me, at some point, this Blue Jays, these bats are going to wake up, right? But
yeah,
to the credit of the Astros, who dropped, what, how many? 7 in the first inning there, Donnie, yesterday? Second inning? What did they do the rest of the game? They didn't do anything the rest of the game. So I think that may continue here. I am not looking for a monster slugfest here. The Astros home games have tended to go under a lot more than people think. So that's the way I'm leading. I think we have an inflated total here tonight in this one because of some of the runs that we have seen, but I don't know. I think 9's a little big here for these two teams, especially I don't trust them to be able to just blast, your Quitty here or Bassett. I'm going to go with the under in this one here tonight. 9 is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, Dinger Tuesday, by the way, at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If I look at this game overall, like Bassett has terrible numbers on the season, 6.49 xFIP number, about 70 batters he's faced. He's actually done very well, Joe, against right-handed batters. .311 weighted on base percentage. And if you say, 311, that's great. No, it's weighted different. It's a weighted on base percentage. So 325 or higher is where you want to be. Anything below, you're below the Major League Baseball average. And an ISO of 133. Right. So he's done well there. But left-handed batters, Joe, completely different story. 31 that he's faced this year, 497 weighted on base percentage. And how about this ISO, a 536? That's like 3 to 4 times higher than what the Major League Baseball average is. If you're looking at Alvarez and Tucker, both left-handed batters tonight for the Astros, 273 ISO power number, 303 ISO power number, and both of them high weighted on base percentage. For Alvarez, 391, and for Tucker, a 460. So if somebody's going to get the Bassett, it's probably going to be from the left-hand side. So just some food for thought, because everybody else, Joe, in that lineup, not doing very well against right-handed pitching here for those Houston Astros, so something to keep an eye on. Now, let's keep moving. How about this one? The Cubs and the Athletics say, hey, man, put me to sleep. Well, maybe Stroman puts that Oakland Athletics lineup to sleep as a -172 favorite. The total listed at 8. Waldichuk is really bad. The issue is going to be, can the Cubs hit Waldichuk? That's what I'm worried about.
Well, the Cubs have done a pretty good job of putting the ball into play here and getting it done. And I believe they have, what, Stroman on the mound here tonight,
yes,
somewhere along those lines.
Yeah.
So he has been absolutely phenomenal. He's also a sinker pitcher, which means going to be hard for in a pitcher's ballpark anyway, right? So I don't see any reason to be confident that Oakland's going to score a ton of runs here. But did you see Bellinger last night? 5 for 5. The guy is crushing the ball. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's stealing bases. He's getting back slowly to the Bellinger of old. This guy, Patrick Wisdom, absolutely on fire for the Cubs. I don't see any other play here other than lay the 1.5 with the Cubs and expect them to do exactly what they did last night with Marcus Stroman on the mound for him here. I think it's the Cubs in a landslide here.
Yeah, Stroman should go through that Oakland Athletics lineup like a hot knife through butter. Yep. Like, Walter Chuck has been so bad. One of the guys I loved at Fay, super high XFIP, doesn't strike anybody out. And his lefty-righty splits, he's a left-handed pitcher. He's terrible to lefties and even worse to righties. 64 batters, Joe. He's faced from the right side. A 467 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 375. You hit the nail on the head. We talk about, you know, Dinger Tuesday and who has a legitimate chance to homer. Take a look at Wisdom. Only 13 at-bats on the early season against lefties, a 692 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of a 580. That's a guy in your lineup you expect to do damage, because to be quite honest, the first five batters in that lineup, Horner, Swanson, Happ, Suzuki, and Mancini, have been really bad against left-handed pitching. Maybe it's Wisdom that comes through for an RBI prop, for a home run prop, something to certainly take a look at there. The Brewers and the Mariners. Ray on the mound for the Brewers, and the Mariners going out with Logan Gilbert, -164 as a favorite for the M's, a total of 8. Brew Crew, Mariners. What are we looking at tonight, Joe?
That was an interesting game last night. Corbin Burns, again, the last thing the Brewers wanted to see was, Corbin Burns might have injured himself. Like, everybody on that staff seems to be injured, and that is not good news at all. But, hey, I do like Gilbert on the mound for them here tonight. I think we get a nice little bounce-back situation with Seattle here tonight. I think the bats will come alive a little bit. That bullpen's been a little worked here for Milwaukee, and I do think that Seattle might be able to get on the board early here and quickly. So the bullpen is still a little iffy for me with Seattle, so I'm going to look to back them early in the first five in this one. I think Gilbert can handle his business here.
I think you're right here. Gilbert, 3.19 xFIP on the early season, 30% K rate, not walking a lot of guys. And how about this? Ground ball rate that you love, 53.5%. That means over half of the baseballs don't even get up in the air for a line drive or a fly ball, which, again, no chance at a home run at that point. Also, just doubling down on Gilbert on the season, right-handed pitcher to lefties, Joe, how about this ISO power number, 086? How about the righties? A 0 ISO power number. We'll see what Gilbert has tonight. A little bit later on, also, Mets and Dodgers, keep an eye out for that one. But for a Tuesday, Joe Ranieri put in that work. How do you feel, Joe? Good?
Can't wait to come back and do it again tomorrow, Don.
I'll close it down next. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here for the early line on a Tuesday morning. SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Today was Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. before handing it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid programming. So much stuff to go over. The NHL playoffs in full effect. The Boston Bruins with a 3-1 win on opening night. Wins, wins, and more wins. That's what the Bruins do. Also yesterday, the Kings take a 2-0 series lead over the Warriors, and the Philadelphia 76ers did the same, taking a 2-0 series lead over the Nets. There is a long way to go, both in the NHL and also in the NBA playoffs. We talked about Jalen Hurts getting a massive contract and what that means for other quarterbacks, which include Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, and also Lamar Jackson. But it always feels like center stage and the focus is not on the win for the Kings, it's Draymond Green being Draymond Green. Listen up. Hey, did you hear that? Be quiet. What's next for Draymond Green in the NBA, particularly in the playoffs? And will he even get to play in NBA game number three? So to say playoff game number three for the Kings and the Warriors. If you didn't see it last night, Draymond Green, you know, hey, look, Sabonis is on the ground. Let me just stomp him in the chest. But we did see that Domantas Sabonis did grab the leg of Draymond Green. So he responded by stomping his chest. Now, the game was delayed as they reviewed and eventually ejected Draymond Green from game number two, which he'll be subject to a suspension possibly for game number three. But here's the thing that you love or hate about Draymond Green: riling up the crowd, running off the court, getting in spectators' faces, but also post-game requesting an x-ray on his ankle because he said it was sore after Sabonis grabbing his ankle, where Sabonis got stomped in the chest and had to get x-rays and probably an MRI to see if there was any damage done to him. It's almost like a checkmate move, and some people will say this is what Draymond Green does. Even though the Warriors are down 0-2, he takes all the heat off of his teammates and puts it back on himself. We'll see if he's available for game three, because they're going to need all hands on deck to take down the Kings, already being down 0-2. Stay tuned. Ben Stevens, The Morning After, coming up next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.